Welcome to the Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle, coming at you for another episode from the Army Sustainment Week here in 2026. Meeting with a variety of different leaders, hearing firsthand all new innovations, all new things that are happening across the sustainment enterprise. And today, I'm excited to be sitting down with you and be able to talk about what it means for the Operational Readiness Program, this new program that's being developed, that you're going to be seeing here rolling out, that's going to help increase your overall readiness rate. And with me today, I have two gentlemen that's kind of walk us through this, two commanders of depots across the country. First one I have with me here today is going to be Colonel Andy Moore, who's at the Anderson Army Depot. And then also returning to the podcast is going to be Colonel Dennis Fajardo, which is the Red River Army Depot. Highly suggest you check out his episode, episode 26, which was leveraging the power of the organic industrial complex that we published last fall of 2025. So highly suggest you checking that episode out, kind of give you a little forefront of what the depots do to help build upon today's discussion. So without any further ado, I'll just give you a quick rundown. If both of you gentlemen could just introduce yourselves to the audience and we'll kick it off.
Hey, I'm Colonel Andy Moore, commander of Anderson Army Depot. That's the depot that does the majority of the Army's ground combat systems. So M1 Abrams, anything on an Abrams chassis, Strikers, artillery to include the Paladin towed artillery pieces, locomotives, and also small arms weapons.
All right. Thank you for having me. Again, I really appreciate it. So Colonel Dennis Fajardo, Red River Army Depot Commander. We do all the wheeled vehicles, some track, HIMARS, Bradley, and lots of secondary items, engines, transmissions, axles, drives, and things like that.
So once again, thank you both gentlemen for taking the time during this, I know, very busy week here at Sustainment Week, for sitting down with me. And really, let's just get into it today. What is this new operational readiness program that you excited to hear about? I heard a little bit about it downstairs and from you, so let's get into it.
Yeah, so we're here at Sustainment Week this week, and we really appreciate the opportunity to sit down and elaborate on this a little bit. So the operational readiness program, and I've got my laptop here. Andy's the smart one. I thought it was going to be the good-looking one with glasses, but he brought his as well. I've got some notes. And really more so because I want to read from directly from the Exord, Exord 119-26, that just got published on the 22nd of April, making the Operational Readiness Program an Army program. And so everyone should have that Exord. If not, check it out, HQDA Exord 119-26. And it says, the Operational Readiness Program is designed to increase the readiness of the units and to rebuild a culture of maintenance within the Army. The ORP enhances operation readiness in tactical units by connecting the depot resources to the unit level. And so this is a nuance that hasn't been available before or in a while since we changed to the two-tier maintenance system, where now we will go out to the organizations and the units out in the Army and provide some depot-level maintenance in order to assist that unit and organization with their OR rate, which will ultimately become an increase in readiness.
Yeah. So it was originally a TACOM, FORCECOM partnership initiative. And so the Army found some money, identified a fleet of vehicles, anywhere from 20 to 30 vehicles. The first 3 to 4 cycles focused in on ABCTs. And so those 20, 30 vehicles went to our two respective depots. We overhauled them, made them like brand new. And then the first team that was identified, they identified their hangar queens. And we did a supply transaction swap for our brand new overhauled vehicles with their hangar queens, and provided an immediate kind of bump up there. But the other big thing that kind of Dennis talked about is we actually sent flyaway teams to the unit. And so they're able to provide that over the shoulder coaching and mentoring with the young soldiers there. Our average mechanics / artisans experience is about 15 to 16 years of what they've been working on the systems. We've got some that are 40 plus years. So really the expert with those systems, and they love doing what they do.
Yeah, so for us, it happens in two major parts. So there are six phases of the operational readiness program listed out in the XORD, and that actually happened throughout the whole process. But for us, it's two major movements. We have vehicles that we do maintenance and repairs and even overhaul at the depot of yours. And then we have flyaway teams that go to your location and do the work there, the complete thing. So everything from the joint TI between them and your mechanics, your sustainers, and to repairs during NTC RSOI or NTC regen, or back at the unit once it goes back to the unit from the NTC location, or even when those equipment go forward into theater. Our folks do travel out to theater and make sure that they're received in the right way. That's allowed the OR rate to go from a bump of between 11 to 20% across the divisions that have done that work with us already. And it has maintained not only from the first touch that we have with them, but all the way through the NTC rotations, which is at a unit that went through that did their whole rotation at over 80% OR rate, the whole 10 days in the box, and then came back out and got another bump to go back home. And then we're putting them in on trains right now in the ships to go overseas. And so it's a good program. The six phases from the XORD are planning phase, setting the conditions, execution phase, deployment and catch in theater support phase, quality assurance assessment phase, and then conduct final AAR phase. And so, as you can imagine, we've got a lot of phases in our missions in the Army, but it's two big muscle movements for us and the units.
Yeah, and the cycles overlap. So as one unit that's further along in the phases, there'll be another unit that's in the planning phase and another unit that might be in phase three. So the things I would say to maximize if your unit's selected, first off, like, you can request to have your unit be part of the ORP program. And so more likely to happen if you're one of the units that's wanting it than not. But once you find out you get selected, we're going to use data from G Army, the TACOM, and your team to identify what are those vehicles that have historically the worst readiness. Mm-hmm. Once they've been identified, controlled exchange, get all the broken parts on all your other vehicles and swap them out for the parts that are working on those identified vehicles. But utilize that. Once we do the JTI, you can still do some controlled exchange after that, but that's when the communication becomes really critical for us. I think another thing is as we take the vehicles from one cycle, those will be the seed for a follow-on cycle. So the sooner we can know what software configuration your equipment is on, that will allow us to work with the program managers, because a lot of this equipment is still within kind of the program managers' fielding. And so we can coordinate with them to get those MWOs, permissions to do work, in some cases get some of the new equipment for that follow-on cycle. And then the third thing I would say is lock in those dates when you want our flyaway teams to come to you, especially the ones where we're going out to NTC, JRTC, or when we're going with you for the deployment. The sooner those get locked in, the more likely we're going to be able to support those as much as possible, because this is right now our number one priority. We're seeing a lot of benefit from this. But anyone who's been in the Army a while knows, like, priorities can change because the enemy gets a vote. And so the sooner we can have things locked in, the more likely we're able to have it happen.
Okay. Yeah. So something that was interesting, many years ago, on the receiving end, I was a Bradley commander. And so I wouldn't want to let my Bradley go to depot for repair, because I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't be able to do my training. I wouldn't be able to, mm-hmm. my crew could get decertified. I might not be able to meet a timeline to go to NTC or deploy or something like that. And, your career, you feel like your whole career, your whole life revolves around this Bradley being there, right? And so I just wanted to say that That is not the way that the depot operates in 2026. Our focus area of production has lines of efforts of cost, quality, and delivery, which means that we try to do the repairs and the overhauls and the least amount of money possible, so that the warfighter's dollar goes farther and has more buying power. We try to make as economical as possible and as cheap as possible. The quality aspect, it's 100% guaranteed. I mean, everything is taken care of and tested. When you get that vehicle back, it's a brand new. And then the time frame, right? You'll know exactly what time frame you have this. There is a contract between the organization and TACOM and AMC for the time frame that the vehicles are going to be gone and taken care of and whatnot. And so all those worries of older days are gone. And then the other thing associated with that is always the money, right? So I mentioned cost. Well, how does this get paid? Well, now that it's an Army program, it is going to be palmed for, and there will be some funding associated with that. Up to now, it's been with sustainment money from the units and with some help from TACOM, AMC, the old Forescom. It's an Army program now, and there'll be some relief in that coming soon.
So say I'm out here, I'm a company commander, and I'm listening to this right now, and I'm hearing, okay, so what does this do for me as a company commander? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not easy. It's easy for us. We're on this end, but there are. It's like a duck in water, right? There are dozens and dozens of people at echelons, working on this program and ironing out the details and everything like that. We'll get together with the SPO. We'll get together with the G4, the AFSB that supports the organization. All those senior maintenance warrants will be involved in this. Obviously, the Division S and the Division Commander all need to be on board and understand this. And so these requests aren't necessarily from a unit, but they do go up to the higher organization. And then that goes through DAG 357, who coordinates with AMC for what units are going to be a part of the program. And then they're notified, right? And so right now we are currently in phase four of ORP 3, and we've got up to ORP 6, 7 laid out already. And then the rest are unknown. But we're working out just outside of the ABCT that we talked about. We're working towards, we're going to do third ID next, and then after that we're moving to different types of units, aviation support units and the whole gamut of sustainment of vehicles and equipment. So not particular unit, but of vehicles and equipment.
So just in for clarification, this is all Army, because you mentioned aviation, so this includes rolling stock track, aircraft, everything.
Yeah, right now it's brigade centric, and the first three or four phases were armored brigades. But the next couple of phases after that is going to be focused on, I believe we're going to do a DSB. I think we're going to do another BCT, but it's going to be focused on the sustainment equipment within that unit.
Right.
They're talking about expanding it to medical equipment, things like that. The other thing I just really want to add is, like, it's going to increase your OR rate anywhere from 10 to 20%. You're going to get that bump.
Yeah, I got those numbers on here, Andy. So cycle one, they had a readiness increase from 73% to 80%. Cycle two had an increase from 69% to 89.5. And cycle three is not complete right now, but just, you know, they've already worked on over 125 vehicles and have brought over 87 of those to FMC. And they're just in the second phase of that cycle. While at the same time for cycle two, we're just coming back from theater and whatnot, and those vehicles and that organization, which those were selected for being the oldest fleet in the Army, with the hardest OR rates, hardest and like really low, and tough. And those have maintained an over 85 to 90% OR rate through not only through NTC, but downrange as well. So incredible improvements. And it's not just because we changed some parts and we got some vehicles working. It's really about the training, the over-the-shoulder training that that the unit maintainers got while working with our folks that are very experienced. And, you know, we've lost some of that over the years with the two-level maintenance that we have. And so the depot-level repair experience that our folks have been able to really help the maintainers pick up and maintain a little bit better OR rates.
Okay. So could you walk us through, say, you know, I'm either been identified or I volunteered, as you said, wanted to be for this program. Can you walk us through that process of, I got this piece of equipment, either you mentioned two things, sending it to the depot or the team coming to them?
Yeah. So what's going to happen is when you're in that planning phase, your unit, along with the LCMCs, in our case, TACOM, but if it's aviation piece of equipment, it's going to be AMCOM. They're going to look at the data that's within G Army, and they're going to look what does the data say is the vehicles that are in the worst conditions. And then from that, then there'll be a pot of money that was already given to us to where, just for sake of discussion, 10 M1 Abrams, 15 Bradleys, 2 M88s, 1 JAB, 1 ABV. I'm using ABCT terminology. Maybe some Kemet PLSs or something like that. We'll get a number and we'll have already been in the process of overhauling those. And so that is when we completely take the vehicle apart. We remanufacture the components. There are some components that we'll put in that'll be brand new. But when you get that vehicle, it's going to be like it's almost brand new. And so for those 30 to 40 vehicles that have been identified, it will be us. We will send our team, our flyaway teams, out to your location. And then we'll do JTIs with you side by side of those 30 to 40 vehicles. In addition to that, identify other vehicles you want our team to take a look at. They're there to work. And so they're not going to just work on those 30 or 40 vehicles. But those 30 or 40 vehicles, what's going to happen is there's going to be a supply transaction where those are taken off your books and we will give you vehicles that are just been overhauled. And so that right there is an immediate bump to your readiness. And then as you are doing your training and you go out to either NTC or JRTC, we will send a team also to do another touch of not just the 34 vehicles, but all of the vehicles you've identified that you want assistance with. Now, like Dennis talked about, it's not our guys and our artisans doing this by themselves. They're going to be doing it side by side with the mechanics. And so a lot of cases, they love teaching the mechanics. And so they're going to say, okay, hey, watch me how I do this first one. They're going to do it. And then they're going to go, okay, hey, you're going to do it now. And I'm going to be guiding you through this process to get hands-on experience.
Okay. So, and you mentioned with this program, those vehicles come off your books.
Yes.
Okay. And then those vehicles that you bring them, that unit to train with, do they flop again? Do you get that?
You get those vehicles. Those vehicles we bring you that we overhaul will now be added to your books.
Okay.
And so it's a supply transaction for your worst equipment with equipment that's just been overhauled, made like brand new. And that is your equipment moving forward.
Okay.
Well, we'll work on other equipment, not just those 30 to 40 vehicles.
Okay. Okay. I see now. So that it's a little bit of a swap there.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would take too long. So it would take weeks to months to take your equipment, mm-hmm. overhaul your equipment. So we've got seed vehicles that we're overhauling, right? Mm-hmm. Doing 10-20 maintenance, overhauling and repairing. And then once they're good to go, and then those are taken and put and given to the unit, and we take theirs and start working on those for the next cycle.
I get what's that.
On average, it takes about 90 days to overhaul an M1 Abrams, and M88's 120 days. Because when I say we take it apart, we literally
tear bones
completely apart, sandblast all of the material, and then everything will get rebuilt. It's pretty amazing. I would invite anybody, if you haven't been to a depot, we always welcome visitors. We'd love to have small teams of your soldiers. We're willing to host them and kind of have them work side by side to get some training from our artisans.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. So TACOM Sergeant Major Primus is also working on that. So if your units are interested in having some folks come out and do a 2-week time frame where they come over and they work over the shoulder with our artisans on equipment, there'll be track, wheels, secondary items, transmissions, axles, drives, and things like that, where we are looking at, you know, basically in that that grouping of E5, D7s, and junior warrants. It's a great experience for them in seeing how the depot operates, but also in improving some of their skill sets that artisans have plenty of.
And it's for all your mechanics. So we overhaul the electronics for the combat systems, yep. The optics for the combat systems. We don't do the radios. Toby Hanna does radios, but it's not just your wheeled vehicle mechanics or your track vehicle mechanics. Like you can have your generator mechanics, your like I said, your electronic mechanics, and your, in my case, the weapons mechanics.
What about engineer, like the engineers, engineer equipment?
Equipment, yep. Engineer yeah. mechanics. So, like I said, we've got the joint assault bridge, and a couple of the other mobility vehicles too.
Wiring harnesses. We fabricate wiring harnesses at Red River. If you need wiring harnesses, just do not destroy the connectors. The number one problem is the connectors. It's much easier to do the cables than to get connectors from anywhere in the world, to be honest with you. So we're working on that. Save the connectors. We can redo the wiring harnesses. We can show your folks how to do them as well.
Do you know, does the Army Watercraft fall into this umbrella at all?
So Anniston can do work on the engines that are part of the Army Watercraft. We do the locomotives on site at Anniston, but if we're going to do watercraft work, we'll go out to locations. Same thing, we do locomotives for the entire Department of War. So generally every Department of War installation actually has 2-3 locomotives. So we'll send teams out there. We'll send flyaway teams that are supporting programs like the ORP. And then for the special operations community, Anniston does a program called SARIT, where we'll go out to a special forces or ranger battalion and completely reset all of that battalion's small arms. And we'll do work all the way up to the chain gun on an Apache. So if you've got it and you can shoot it, we can pretty much work on it.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Another thing that we also have is with those flyaway teams, they can come out and do something separately. Aside from the ORP program, if you're stuck in an area or a situation and you need some help, you could reach out to the depot or TACOM, and which is our higher headquarters below AMC, and they could coordinate for us to send out a couple of folks to go out and take a look at that. I've got a story from a buddy of mine. We were a sustainment brigade, not sustainment brigade, at a striker brigade many years ago, and he ended up going and being armor brigade commander, and went to NTC, and one of his beefists had an accident in getting towed. And so the whole front end was completely torn out, everything like that. I think those of you that are maintainers know exactly what happened. Something didn't disconnect it before driving away. Anyway, called me up. We went down there, sent a couple of guys down there. There was no way to fix or repair this. It was going to be a total loss. We brought it back. We went off market to an aftermarket vendor, for lack of a better word, that has old equipment, and we bought an old shell, cut out the front of his, and put that on, did all the work inside, and got that B-fist going again, and he took it down range about 2 months later. And so there's a lot of magic that we can do, actually, believe it or not. So a lot of things that are available to the warfighter and the sustainers. If you just have a question, just ask.
How do I sign up? How do I get my piece of equipment there? Thinking back to when I was in company command, how nice it would have been to have something like this.
Yeah.
To be able to reach out to and be able to, really help with that operation.
Yeah, but that's why I mentioned the part about the cost, quality, delivery being our lines of efforts for production. Mm-hmm. And we all uphold that because back then I figured there was a place you could send it to. Right. We had originally long time ago, there was a third shop. And even that was a little sketchy, even if it was on the other side of the base or the installation. But now to send it away completely to another depot, right, is scary. But with the coordination, you'll know exactly what it is that we're doing to it, exactly what it would, what it's going to cost, and exactly how long it's going to take. And there's complete control of that. There's no loss of accountability or, you know, nebulous time frame. Well, am I ever going to get my equipment back? I'm only a company commander of a you know, maneuver unit for so long. I can't lose three of my Bradleys, but we can help with that.
Oh, well, thank you both gentlemen for coming in today and just really kind of walking us through this. This is an amazing, I know this is brand new from when we're recording here at Sustainment Week. And I know when this episode finally publishes, it's going to be neat to see just the how far it's even made it since then. So is there anything else that we missed today that you wanted to highlight about the Army operation or Army? So even me, it's getting a brand new operational readiness program.
Just ORP is usually what we say. No, I think we've said it. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak about the program.
Well, yeah, thanks. This has really been awesome. I'll just close with if you want to get a hold of us, we're both on the global for and just look us up, Dennis Fajardo.
Yeah, I go by Charles, but I go by my middle name Andy. So number 50. There's at least 50 of us, probably more now.
Yeah, look for the pictures. He's the good-looking one with the glasses. and then also, if you want to see about the program itself and learn a little bit more, we have Aaron Steele at TACOM and
Scott Bishop, Mr. Scott Bishop.
Those Scott are Bishop,
the first two people I would call. Same thing. You can also just reach out to us, and we can point you in the right direction.
Yeah, but Aaron and Scott Bishop are at the ILSC in TACOM, and they can set you up and get any questions for anything like that, or just contact us. It's okay. I know we're depot commanders, and people sometimes call us, and they're like, I know you're super busy. I'm like, I'm not too busy for this. This is helping the warfighter. This is literally what we do and what our focus is. It's not meetings or other stuff or anything like that. It's taking care of the warfighter and helping sustain.
So before I let you get both off the hook for today, I always want to see what wisdom do you have for the sustainment community? I always want to make sure I ask my guests that, especially having two colonels here today, just be able to, you have both years of experience. I like to be able to give you the opportunity to give up some of that years of experience for the sustainment community.
Yeah, I would say relationships matter. And so build those relationships, don't burn them. And if somebody comes to you asking for some help, really try your best to help them that first time, because chances are if you say no that first time, they're not going to come back to you. And as sustainers, like we're there to help the maneuver forces.
Yeah, I would say, let me see, bigger picture, that career-wise and everything like that, things have changed 4 or 5 times in my career. What you thought was going to get you somewhere, you know, what got you here won't get you there, so to speak. And so just stay focused on your long-term goal. There are no specific jobs, anything like that. Go learn as many different things as you can. Don't expect to just be pulled up by somebody or an organization or anything like that. Get out there. Like, we're both in the organic industrial base. I know 20 years ago, we would have never thought that that would be a lucrative place to end up as a brigade commander or anything like that. By far the best job I've ever had in my entire career.
Best kept secret of Army logistics.
Yeah, but not in the sense of like easy or anything like that. Tough work, but you know, not many jobs in the Army for an 06. Do you manage an organization of thousands of people with over $600-700 million of assets, working the Army Working Capital Fund? So, pretty exciting.
Well, thank you both gentlemen very much for taking the time during this busy Sustainment Week to be able to sit down with me and talk about this. So you say ORP.
Nice.
But once again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Of course. There you have it, folks. Another great episode coming at you from the Army Sustainment Week. On today's episode, we analyzed what it was like for the Army Readiness Program, this brand new program, what it brings to you for your formations, the capabilities, and really how you can tap into it to increase your operational readiness rate and get your equipment that's been, you know, down for a while, bring it back up so you have equipment that you're fully mission capable. And as I said before at the beginning, check out episode 26, Leveraging the Power of the Organic Industrial Complex. That serves as a foundation episode for today's conversation to provide an understanding of what the Army depots are like. But that is all we have for today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the U.S. Army CASCOM page. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.